That would be cool. But I do not.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Hooray!
And I was a mad scientist this week.
I see that.
As many people know, I have a bit of a hobby, and that is science. And when I say science, I mean booze.
Drinks.
And so I did some home chemistry, and I made some stuff. So first, I'm going to have everybody take from the shot glass.
Okay.
Okay.
So
this one is the one that I got for you.
Oh, why? Thank you.
Yes.
We will. Do you want to talk about these now? Or
I
after
do.
We
yeah.
Have,
yeah. Okay. I mean, okay. I'll talk a little bit about them. I'll just say I bought shot glasses.
These are gorgeous.
And I thought I would let you choose.
These are ceramic.
But I thought you would like that one.
Are they ceramic or
they are just, ceramic?
Okay.
Your face is ceramic.
I just wasn't sure if they were opaque glass or actually ceramic. Okay, so what we are drinking now is the cider that we had last week. Okay.
All right.
Okay, I just wanted us to remember what it tasted like.
Okay.
All right.
So take a sip. You don't have to drink it all. I just want you to get it back in your mouth.
Oh, no, cider. Oh, was that I shouldn't drink it all?
No, you don't have to. If you want to, you can.
Okay.
All right, so that is the cider that we had last week. Okay,
yes.
You've got that in your mouth now.
Yeah.
Now.
Mouth.
I took a can of that cider, and over the week, I made Applejack out of it.
Oh.
Applejack. I don't know what that means.
Applejack is distilled cider.
I like this idea.
Ooh.
You can give me a good check.
So I got about 25 milliliters...
He's pouring it out of a beaker right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I got about 25 milliliters of Applejack out of a 12-ounce can of cider.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So that's how distilled that is.
Now, okay.
Now take that.
Hmm.
Ooh. Oh, I like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like an apple whiskey or something.
That's exactly what it is. It is distilled cider, just like whiskey is distilled beer, and you know, vodka is distilled, you know, barley mash.
Yeah.
Or this Applejack is distilled cider.
Okay.
Fuck! So, I want so much of this.
I
want this to be more prominent in my life. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make a lot of it. So, out of a 12-ounce can, I got about 25 milliliters of Applejack.
Okay.
I figure if I take my 5-gallon carboy of cider...
Oh, my God.
...and make about 2 gallons of that into Applejack... Whoa, that stuff is powerful. It is going right to my head. Wow.
Excellent.
And I had maybe 10 milliliters. Like, I didn't have much. And wow, that stuff
was a sip.
Powerful.
That,
you know how it's like 7% alcohol in that cider?
Uh-huh.
That's that 7%.
Yep.
Anyway, so if I take 2 gallons out of my 5-gallon carboy and make that into Applejack, that leaves me 3 gallons of cider that I can still drink. But those 2 gallons of cider into Applejack will yield roughly 500 mil.
Ooh, a handle.
Yeah. Not quite a 750 bottle, but enough to fill it more than halfway.
Can you distill mead?
Yes, it's called Honey Jack. And I'm planning on trying that, too.
I want that in my face.
Now, the thing...
I just orgasmed.
I want both. Mixed.
James, could you take the remainder of this can and pour it in these?
Yeah.
And then take this can and pour it in those.
Yeah.
Actually, before... Where did that go? Where did it go? My wife took it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
Okay, it'll be fine.
It's fine.
But,
It's fine.
They're fine.
It's fine.
But,
Tish.
Where was I? Okay, so instead of normal distillation, with you know whiskeys and stuff like that, which is hot distillation because you're heating it up, and the liquid is then turning into steam and then condensing back into a liquid. What you're doing here is this is called a process called cold distillation,
okay,
or freeze distillation, and then what you're doing there is you are freezing the product The alcohol stays liquid, but the water freezes into ice.
Oh.
And then you remove the water, the frozen water, and what you're left with is just the alcohol.
So the ice in these cups...
So the ice that we have in these cocktails is the ice that I took off of the cider. Now, even though what we just drank was this distilled
but wait,
product,
there's more.
Even though the Applejack is the distilled product, the ice that you remove still has that apple flavor and a little bit of alcohol in it.
Okay.
So now we have cocktails in front of us made from a little bit of cider and some ginger ale, and the ice is the ice that I removed from the cider while I was jacking it. that is the actual term, by the way.
I'm
going to describe this to Joe, and he's going to be like, we need to do this
but
right now.
But what I'm saying is...
We need to jack it immediately.
We need to jack it immediately.
What I'm saying is...
he's going to be jacking it while you tell him about it.
I know,
the benefit of cold jacking is you get your liqueur, but you also get this flavorful ice that you can then use as the ice in cocktails.
Okay.
How cool is that?
Okay.
All right,
well,
now we get to
ice cold, yeah.
Here we go.
Boom. All right, I get this one.
All right. Here we go.
Cheers.
Some lawn chairs.
Oh.
Oh,
well, that's
my
refreshing
God, that
as hell.
Is,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That is everything I needed on a day like today.
Ooh, yeah.
That is super refreshing.
Oh, buddy.
Salsa, can I hug you on the podcast?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The audience can hear it.
Yeah.
They hear that hug.
All right.
That moment
now,
of love.
Before we go any further, I would like to address one point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
No. Technically, it's not legal.
Oh.
Because even though it is freeze distillation instead of heat distillation, the law doesn't make a distinction. Distillation is all the law cares about.
Okay. So did you just admit to a crime on our podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
He didn't say where the process was performed. It may have been performed in a completely legal area.
And it is legal in Minnesota with the proper permits.
Right. Permits that you do not have.
Permits that are cost prohibitive.
Yes, I imagine.
Okay.
So that is why places like, Du Nord and Vikra are able to distill is because they have such permits.
Right.
Yeah. Volume.
Exactly. That having been said, if the cops knock on my door and say, have you been distilling here and we're going to arrest you for it or fine you, then I'd be like, fair cop. Like, yes, I absolutely did this thing.
Yeah.
Is anyone ever going to do that? Probably not. Because, again, the distillation that most people care about is the heat distillation.
Also, like, mass market distribution and...
Also that.
...of unsafe
But things. Also, the difference between freeze distillation and sticking a can of cider in the freezer is basically the same thing. And
pretty minimal.
And yeah, like...
So, basically, you just put a can in the freezer, but you
use... a little more to it, but yeah.
Basically...
Yeah.
You just put a can in the freezer. You're just calling it by a fancy term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Fuck, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Science, bitches.
Oh, God.
So, yes, I am planning on... yes, I'm going to use the term again, because it's the real one. I am planning on jacking about 2 gallons of my cider.
Wow.
I need to message Joe right now. Like, I don't
Salsa's
know how to
talking
know.
About jacking it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't...
But it makes really, really yummy stuff. But I mean, just like I said, that the amount of just extra that's taken out to leave you with just this super smooth apple liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's brilliant.
So yummy. So yummy.
Can you do it with sake?
I do not know.
I would imagine you could.
Wow, that would
what
be...
What is sake made with? I don't actually know what it is.
Sake is Yeah.
It's basically like a rice wine or rice.
It's got a super high alcohol content.
Yeah, but it's made with a grain, so that might need to be heat distilled. Because the sugars are different.
Fascinating. Now I want to know more about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you heat distill, you're actually causing some of the proteins to congeal.
Right.
And that is why heat distillation is actually... It has nothing to do with exploding stills, because that's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's an open system. They don't explode because there's a hole on one end. the problem is if you don't do it right, those fusel oils can congeal, and those are toxic if you have too many.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
Which is why, I guess you weren't there when we were at Dunord.
Used to go blind from bathtub gin.
Well, what you have to do is you have to take the middle of the distillation.
Mm.
You can't take the beginning, and you can't take the end. You have to take the middle. And... Mm. That is actually where being a professional distiller comes in, is choosing at what point to start collecting. Because dead center is the tastiest.
Is that also why, super cheap vodka tastes like diesel?
Yeah, because that's closer to the beginning or the end.
Huh.
And that's super, super smooth.
That means that they have a high turnover.
But that's the thing, is that super high-end... alcohol is right in the center, but the distiller needs to know when to start collecting and when to stop collecting, because if you start collecting too early, your product is going to be lower quality, but you'll have more of it.
You could sell all three parts.
Conceivably. But then again, we're also getting into these toxic oils
that are
also congealing as you're doing this heat distillation process. And that is where you get a lot of the bad stuff that, quote, makes you go blind and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. However, with cold distillation, you're not doing any of that. All you're doing is removing water content.
Hmm.
And so nothing that isn't already there
is nothing going gets to added be, to exactly, the process. Yeah,
exactly. You're not cooking anything. You're not causing any chemical change. All you're doing is removing water.
Yeah.
So
you're
it's completely safe.
It's a change
safe.
Of state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's completely safe in that respect. Hmm. So... But again, it only works with things like honey and fruit and stuff like that. Whereas grain based, like beer, and you know, that's why whiskey and vodka and those
plum wine
have to be heat distilled.
That's a good question.
Didn't phrase it as a question, but it was in fact a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do not know. I could definitely do some research into that, but I don't.
Oh, hot shit! We're gonna drink some research.
Isn't sake already distilled?
It might be.
Yes.
Because it's...
Yeah,
sake. I think it already goes through a process.
It is extraordinarily alcoholic.
Because I think sake is already...
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to really get anything
those
else.
Those fusel oils
that
must be
likely.
What people who pass cheap vodka through Brita filters...
You're getting rid of a lot of those oils, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Very interesting.
So.
But stupid.
Plum wine.
Mm.
So, these are delicious beverages. The shot glasses out of which some parts of these were poured. These are all from the House on the Rock. I decided to
awesome
to get us.
I figured that one because mine says the House on the Rock.
Yeah, mine also says the House on the Rock. Yours will say the House on the Rock, but I think it's on the bottom.
No, it's written in blurry letters on the side.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, they were not expensive shot glasses.
Yeah.
But yeah,
very cool.
You the one that was the most circus.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
I took a trip to the House on the Rock with friend of the podcast, Bryn Berryhill.
I've never been.
I
keep meaning to.
There is a segment.
We should plan a trip.
Another one?
I mean,
we'll
like one that we actually do.
We'll put it on our list of all the other trips that we need
to do. Like one that we actually do, though.
Yeah.
Let's get you and Raiderly.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Joe.
Mm-hmm. James has already been. He doesn't need to go.
James doesn't need to go. Rachel and Skull would be cool too.
Yep. Few other friends we know of.
Yeah, few traveling peoples we can also make a trip. Well, Rock on the Hill is, or House on the Hill.
Yeah, the haunted place. Yeah.
Yes.
Rock on the Hill.
Rock on the House is located south Wisconsin, though, right?
South Central Wisconsin. Okay. It is from here roughly 3.5 hours drive.
That's not too
bad. But in which direction? So it is
east. And then south.
And then south, yeah.
Yes.
Because, yeah. All right.
There are two really good ways to get there.
Are the Dells in that direction as well?
They are. You kind of drive through that area.
Yeah, but I'm just like, okay, if I'm going to plan a trip.
Oh, sure.
I'm
going
to
hit
some other shit up.
It's pretty close to Taliesin, too.
I don't know what Taliesin is.
Taliesin is the Frank Lloyd Wright house.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Oh. We're going to go on a trip and we'll call it house shopping. It'll be great.
Jenna lives here now.
Jenna lives here now.
So it's just a little bit south of Wisconsin Dells.
So,
I know the area.
Yeah, there is in particular at least one exhibit that I think Salsa would find.
This is saying 4 hours.
Motherfucking fascinating.
Not the way James drives.
Well, there's that.
No, totally the way James drives. Not the way I drive.
I mean, I thought I was going to like play it cool and fly under the radar very literally.
You flew. Then it would be a lot faster. Are you talking about the giant carousel?
There's that. But there is also an entire exhibit hall filled with circus-themed toys and miniatures.
Yes. We're going.
We're
going now.
Yeah, and they are right. Set up into elaborate.
Get your keys. We're
going. I've got my keys. They are set up into elaborate sets of circus things, like a fucking five ring circus.
Yep.
And others. Yeah. So it is mind boggling how fucking full this place is with a variety of extremely thorough collections.
Cool.
Plus, there's a beautiful house.
Yeah.
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 So, this is about an hour from the Dells.
Yeah.
So, this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Whole shit ton of us go.
All right.
To the Dells.
Okay.
Go to the house on the rock.
Yeah.
Check it out. Then we go to the Dells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun at the Dells.
We watch some water skiing.
Because it's the Dells.
Right.
As one does, yeah.
Play in the water.
Yeah.
And that's a weekend.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's totally a thing.
An easy way to get there is through one of my favorite, like, Wisconsin whistle stop towns, which used to be called Tomahawk and is now sensibly named Toma.
That's where my brother lives.
Yeah. It's such a tiny little fucking town, but it's real good. And I went to a grocery store that bent my mind called Woodman's.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fucking biggest shopping center I've been in that is not a mall. I could fit a Cub Foods and a Walmart inside one Woodman's. It is stupendously huge.
That sounds delightful.
Yes.
I mean.
And they're, like, the things that are available in there are fucking amazing. But yeah, the place is, like, 40 aisles long, and each aisle is 3 Cub aisles. It's ridiculous. It's bigger than a super Walmart. And it's,
I don't actually go to Walmart,
only
so.
Food.
It's only food.
Well, I mean, they have, like, kitchen utensils and, you know, foil and stuff. A pharmacy segment. But, like, it's fucking gigantic.
Mm.
Yeah. So, that was also part of my trip. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
But,
when did you do this?
This was 2 weekends ago. So, the weekend just before our last recording.
Okay.
Yeah. During which somebody had asked me if I wanted to be in a show that weekend, and I was like, sorry, I'm gone. And then he sent me a message again this weekend and was like, hey, I've got another show coming up. Do you want to be in this show? And I was like, I am already booked. And he goes, how many times do you need to see The House on the Rock? Always. I always need to see it. So, yeah.
It's amusing because I also got a message today from a friend. I don't mm-hmm. know if it's the same friend, but
it might be.
A friend saying, on July 23rd, a Tuesday, would you be interested in being in a show? And I replied with, I will be in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And he replies with, on July 22nd, a Monday, would you consider flying back to do a show on Tuesday?
Oh my God.
I mean, air travel is super neat.
Which is a great fucking answer.
But that is a really good answer. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's that. Like, I love seeing how that place changes and gets built upon as the years go by, and yet there are things about it that don't ever fucking change. And they also have one of the largest collections of
So how do you know about Toma, just out of curiosity?
Well, because I used to drive through there to go to camp, to summer camp, and also we went through there to go to all vacation spots east of Wisconsin, functionally. So yeah, I just, like, weirdly, I have been there dozens of times. Okay. It's also in the opposite direction, in east of Toma, is a cheese shop that I fucking love. So, yeah. Which does Jenna no good, I
nope.
understand.
Yeah. I'm just like, huh, yeah.
Although they do have meats.
Mm. I like meats.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah. I'm going to sweeten the deal.
Oh, yeah?
So, between Wisconsin Dells and The House on the Rock.
Okay.
In a location called Prairie du Sec.
Which is...
Is my favorite vineyard in Wisconsin.
Your favorite vineyard?
In Wisconsin, yes. Oh. Wollersheim Winery.
Okay.
They're phenomenal. They're right halfway between the House on the Rock and Wisconsin Dells.
Holy shit.
I'm just saying. We go to those Dells.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the House on the Rock.
Yep.
Stop. Drink wine at a vineyard. Mm-hmm. And then go and play in the water.
All right. I'm in.
I mean, this seems like a real good fucking plan.
I see also, literally no downside.
Also, here's the thing. I've been to the House on the Rock, I want to say, maybe a dozen times.
So the rest of us are going to the House on the Rock, and he's going to stay at the vineyard. and we'll just pick him up on
I've
the
way
I've
been to the House on the Rock about a dozen times. I have never been to the Dells.
Really?
Shit you say.
Yeah.
I went several times as a kid.
That always cost way too much for my family to go to.
My family went because it was cheap. That's weird. Your family's weird.
Yeah. We were poor.
We didn't go to Valley Fair because it cost too much, but we went to the Dells.
We got to go to Valley Fair because the place where my mom worked had, like, event days.
Mm.
Where they were like, bring the kids, go to Valley Fair, enjoy time with your coworkers, not spent doing work. Yeah, those were the big ones. Or for the Starlight admission, which is, like, half price, and you get a couple hours in the park. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's why stuff like House on the Rock, which is now, like, to see the whole thing, mm-hmm. like, it does cost a bit, but it's a whole fucking day.
I mean, while we're in that area, we can go to Circus World, too.
There is that. Just we saw the signs for it, and we were, our eyes were opened, yes, but
I
also...
I performed there.
I know.
Yes, we know, Salsa.
So we were sitting down to lunch in the House on the Rock, and they have like a weird, cute mixture of a diner and like a magic show. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have magicians performing, but they have like memorabilia
right.
from including these enormous posters, like the show bills. And I took pictures of them because I thought you would be fascinated by it. And then we went and got like really tasty pizza, and they have New Glarus on tap.
Well, yeah, they're fucking an hour
in Wisconsin.
From,
yeah. Yeah. So,
but they're an hour from New Glarus. So.
We sat down and Bryn was like, Salsa would love it here. I was like, Salsa's going to move here. Yeah. 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 So
cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like I sometimes have, just with all of the time, you know, performances and stuff that mm-hmm. I've done in the Dells area at this point, it's almost like my second performance home, oddly. That's what I've got. I know that everybody else did some stuff this weekend. Yeah. We'll talk about that in the second segment, but
sure.
Is there anything else aside from that big thing that happened to anyone?
I got my car fixed today.
Yay!
I mean, mostly, yay. My car's been cranky for a while, mm-hmm. And it was overdue for some fluid changes and things like that. And I brought it in this afternoon because I had the day off of work. Mm-hmm. And I left about an hour and a half ago, almost $1,000 lighter in the pockets.
Yeah.
Oof.
But all of my fluids have been changed. My filters have been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
My belts have been replaced.
Hmm.
So I no longer squeak, and I knew that was going to be a thing. So I'm not like, nah. It was starting to go. Mm-hmm.
It sounded like Jenna's laugh.
No, it didn't really hiccup or anything. It just went...
Okay.
Okay, anyway. So, yeah. But, yeah, I picked that up right before the podcast, so... Seems to be running smoother. But, yeah. $1,000.
Worth it.
$1,000.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
After a weekend as expensive as the weekend that I just had.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, things are a little tight.
Yeah, I... The whole debacle with Radley getting her car totaled has caused us to look at our finances pretty tightly.
Yeah.
Which, again, we're leaving for 2 weeks for 10 days in Europe, so our budget is already pretty, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
And now we're like, well, we can either do, like, have zero fun in Europe and be able to afford a car, or... actually enjoy ourselves and mm-hmm. try to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Should we take a break and then we'll talk about that thing that happened?
I'm for it.
Sure.
Alright, we'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And that thing happened.
That thing.
That thing happened this
that
weekend.
That one thing.
That thing with the stuff?
Yep.
So...
And the people?
All of the people.
Oh, holy my God. Shit. So many people.
We are, of course, just talking about Convergence.
Yes.
Convergence!
We did the thing. Well, some of us did the thing.
I actually
you
did
a little
bit
of the
thing.
Yeah. You want to talk about your thing first?
Sure, I can talk about my thing first. I mean Casimir, made a brief appearance. So, one of the panels this year was a panel that was put together by a few friends of ours. For those of you who are familiar with 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, that's what we did. For those that are not familiar with 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown...
It's a thing.
In order to explain what 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown is, first you need to explain what two other shows are.
Oh, boy.
First you need to explain what Countdown is. Countdown is a game show popular in Britain. And the basic gist of it is people are given, or they select, randomly select consonants and vowels. And by that, I'm not saying that they say, I would like a consonant, please. And then they pull a consonant out of a pile, and they say, this is your consonant. And they say, another consonant, please. May I have a vowel, please? And what they do is they choose 9 letters.
It is the exceedingly British version of Wheel of Fortunes.
No.
Snow?
It's
God, I've been
basically what they do is
going.
they choose these letters, random letters, until they have 9 letters.
All right.
And then they have 30 seconds to try to anagram those letters into the longest word they can.
Okay.
That's the basic, like, nutshell of what countdown. There's some other stuff, obviously, but that's the basic thing, is you get these letters, you try to make the longest word you can out of those letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's this other show called 8 out of 10 Cats, and this is a British comedy panel show. Wherein, British panel game show. If you don't know what that is, then you're hopeless at this point. But the idea, it was about statistics.
Go on.
But it was this, like I said, British comedy panel show. That's less important. The important thing is 8 out of 10 Cats, the cast of 8 out of 10 Cats,
mm-hmm.
took over the actual countdown stage. Like, they didn't build their own separate one somewhere. They went to the actual countdown stage where Countdown was filmed, and they did their version of Countdown, which was basically the same, but a lot more silly and goofy, and they give each other a lot more of a hard time, and it's celebrities instead of actual contestants.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. So we had this panel at Convergence for 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. But one of the things they have is distractions. So while this 30 seconds is happening,
sure.
while people are trying to rearrange these letters into words, is A, that's not good TV, because people are writing for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So they have somebody come out and do something. And this serves two purposes. One, it makes something for the audience to look at.
Sure.
And two, mm-hmm. it provides a distraction for the people who are trying to write.
Right.
Because they're trying to do their thing, and something is happening in front of them. And you have to kind of go, what's more important? Finding out what the audience is oohing and aahing at?
Fuck.
Or trying to actually play the game? So it's this fun dual purpose there. I was one of the distractors. Nice. I should say Casimir was one of the distractors.
Your good friend, Casimir.
Yes. So,
You know, I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
So...
I have. It's real awkward.
The other
were they jacking it?
The other distractors were Duck Washington and Megan Slauson.
Oh, nice!
Awesome.
But for mine, the first one I did just juggling. I juggled 3 clubs.
Sure.
Nothing to write home about, but it was good for the audience. The second one, I stepped out in the front and I pulled a screwdriver out of my pocket.
Oh God,
and
man!
I'm so
slowly
glad
it in my nose.
You went with
and slowly
pocket.
Twisted it and slowly took it out, and it was about 30 seconds exactly, and the audience went nuts. The last one, of course, I came up and I actually swallowed a sword.
Sure, sure.
The best part, though, this gives me such a warm feeling on the inside, mm-hmm. is when I stepped up for the third time, because it was I went out and then Duck did his thing, and then I did my thing, and then Megan did her thing, like, you know, throughout the course of the show. The third time I stepped up with this sword, I heard someone, I don't know who it was, I heard someone say, oh my God, it's him again.
Yes.
So I swallowed the sword, and then I did the drop, and everyone lost their shit, and it made me happy. That was my Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
I came, I did that show, and then I left. And I went home because I had a babysitter who was watching the kids.
Huh.
So that is my Convergence.
As they will do.
I got to see the new location and kind of how it was configured and performed for half an hour, and that was it. So yes. That's it for me.
Yeah, well done.
What about you two?
Godzilla.
Oh, God.
Gojira.
Oh, that was a sneeze. So yeah, I checked in on Wednesday and left on Monday. Wednesday, got like hotel room stuff set up.
Yeah.
In my hotel room, I have a crock pot buffet full of meats.
Fuck.
Meats. And I kind of outdid myself with a pulled chicken thing that was absolutely incredible, and I have no idea how I did it or how I'm going to replicate it, but it was incredible. So that was nice. But no, just basic hotel check-in, kind of get the layout, get the badges, stuff like that. Hung out at Smoker's Paradise. You know, just some basic chilling. And then Thursday we woke up and everybody was there.
Fuck.
Oh my God. It was incredible. The amount of people and all of this. Oh, Jesus. So, yeah. From there it was... God, I don't remember. Like, Thursday I hit up Dealer's Room. Oh, and I brought Joe for his first time. His first full Convergence. He had been to Convergence a couple of times as a performer, so...
Oh, sure.
In and out of HarmCon, not really getting to experience the whole thing. The number of people was quite... It was daunting.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think we have less this year than last year, but the way things are configured, it was just hard to miss them.
If there were fewer people, I sure as fuck couldn't tell.
I think not having the garden court made everything just more cramped in general. But layout was great. I did on Thursday. I did my the fairy godmother cosplay with Rachel and Raiderly.
I saw pictures. So good.
Yeah, we repurposed the ones that the costumes we used for Powerpuff Girls from a couple years back. the Time Bend Powerpuff Girls, and we repurposed those for Fairy Godmothers, and we did that. And then Salsa's mother-in-law was Maleficent.
That's wonderful.
And yeah, we got some pics. It was delightful. It was incredible. We were stopped by little girls. We were stopped by adults. Pictures galore. Going into princess mode, which is very specifically talking when you go to talk to little kids and you engage.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, princess mode, which, of course, Rachel was incredible at.
Weird.
I know, right? But, yeah. So, did that. We checked out art. Took some pics. That evening, did some parties. Went to a panel on the physics of Avengers Endgame. That was actually a lecture by a physics professor from the U.
That sounds so fucking good.
It was pretty good. There was a lot of math involved. But yeah, it was still a pretty good,
I was told there would be no math.
I ostensibly learned about time and quantum physics. I don't know that I actually learned about time and quantum physics, but I know slightly more than I did before I showed up.
Rad.
So that was cool. Yeah, free college, basically, is what that was. And then... Yeah, we did some partying. Friday, did my death cosplay. I did the Dawn of Justice panel with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe.
Nice.
I got to judge a poetry slam. And then I did vilification tennis.
Oh, yeah?
Now, let me tell you about vilification. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna set vilification tennis aside. And
sure.
We can talk about that at the end.
Absolutely.
So yeah, did vilification tennis, did some more partying. Saturday I got into my Lapis Lazuli cosplay.
Wow, yeah.
And that was awesome. Got lots of compliments, but there was this little girl. So let me set up this scenario for you. James is also involved with this one to a certain extent. I am downstairs. I'm in Smoker's Paradise in my lapis lazuli costume, having a cigarette, drinking coffee, trying to make morning happen. And suddenly there, Bree's, I'm hanging out with a good friend, Bree, and she's like, there's a little girl behind you. I'm like, awesome, Bree, can you hold this for me and like hand her my cigarette?
Right.
And I put down the coffee and I turn and I go into princess mode with this little girl who is just over the fucking moon. Because when I say I did lapis lazuli cosplay,
right,
I was blue.
Yeah.
I was entirely blue. I had a blue bodysuit. I had the costume. I had a wig. I had face paint. I was blue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those eyes stuck out like a cartoon character. It was great. As if I was trying to cosplay a cartoon character. Bizarre, I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who is this character?
Lapis Lazuli is one of the gems on Steven Universe and the Crystal Gems.
Okay.
she suffers PTSD. I kind of connect with her. So anyway.
I was going to say, cigarette and coffee seems...
I mean...
Correct.
If it wasn't a children's cartoon,
right. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the gritty reboot would definitely have that.
Though. Oh, God, yes. So I talked to this little girl, and while I'm engaging with the little girl, Bree is talking with the little girl's parents, and they're like, yeah, we're actually going to be doing a Steven Universe thing later today. And I'm like, what? So Bree coordinates because I was not the only person doing Lapis Lazuli. There was a group of our friends doing Steven Universe cosplay. James was doing a Steven Universe cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
As Greg Universe. And then...
Eric Thompson is Steven Universe from what I've heard.
Better.
Because Eric Thompson this particular day went as a Tiger Millionaire, who is a disguised wrestling persona for the actual Steven Universe.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, so he was Steven Universe, but in
know everybody disguise. Has told me that Eric looks exactly like Steven Universe.
He does.
So.
He does. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
So we had a rose. We had some donuts workers.
Sadie and Lars. Yeah.
Was that all we had? I feel like we had more. I don't know. That was still a good chunk
in our team. Yeah, in our team. I think that was our team.
So yeah, that was all of us, and we met up with this family, and the mom had put on a rose cosplay, and the dad was Greg Universe. So we had a couple of Greg Universes, we had a couple of roses. They had a baby that was in a little Steven Universe onesie that the dad was carrying around. It was so fucking adorable.
Real cute. This is a picture of Steven Universe.
But then,
yeah, that's Eric.
Yep.
Yeah, right? But then the little girl that I'd been engaging with was dressed as Pearl. And she was the
Tiny
cutest
Pearl.
Fucking Pearl ever. So, and then she had an older sister that was also dressed up as a form of lapis.
Mm-hmm.
She was the baseball lapis lazuli. I was just regular lapis lazuli.
Bob, if you will.
Sea witch. Oh, yes. She was Bob. And so the whole group of us went outside and we took some pictures and we got some individual shots with little Pearl. I did a back-to-back with the other Lapis. We got a couple with the Greg Universes just laying back with a little baby Steven. It was adorable. And then, like, we're hanging out. We did a bunch of the pictures. And this little girl, like, starts singing Steven Universe songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all singing Steven Universe songs. And I'm pretty sure I'm in menopause right now because I am out of eggs. I dropped every fucking egg I have left.
You're empty.
I'm empty. There's nothing left. Like,
I went through
a
grocery store dairy aisle and just like dropped all of the eggs myself. Just picked them up.
It was so fucking cute.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure that tiny girl was glowing.
Oh my God. We made her fucking year. Like, she was just like, I get to interact with all of these people and we're all nerding out about the thing that I like to nerd out about. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what, six?
Probably.
Yeah. Just and so she got to go to a nerd con and mm-hmm. nerd out with adult nerds about her children's show and what the fuck. Like, yeah.
Also, Brynn is a fantastic Stevani.
Oh yeah.
And she also like is an art teacher and mm-hmm. cardboard camp expert.
Yes.
And made this beautiful cardboard Stevani sword.
Yep.
And so then she handed the sword to Tiny Pearl.
It was so cute.
And I had to
I think
sit
that
down.
Was the moment. That was the moment where I was like, I'm empty.
It's too cute.
That just upturned my basket.
It's too
That's,
adorable.
We're fucking done.
I can't do it.
So yeah. so that also just a couple of nice people. One yeah. of them maybe in this room took some pictures of me in my Lapis Lazuli costume next to water, which for those that don't know, Lapis can control water.
Yep.
So
okay.
near a fountain type thing, and it was picturesque and shit.
Yeah.
And then yeah, hung out, did more partying. The rest of that stuff is kind of a blur. Sunday did some hanging out, went to see a couple of panels. I went to a Steven Universe panel because that just seemed apropos. And
apropos?
You're an apropos.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. And then yeah, saw Reverend Matt's Monster Science, which
yes.
was of course amazing.
Fuck.
Got some hotel stuff packed, but not like completely ready. And then just did the dead dog hanging out type stuff. Ended
sure.
up sitting at a bar with Rob Callahan
mm-hmm.
For like 5 hours just shooting the shit. Like coming up with really bad since Rob is native, and he was there with another native friend, we were talking about really bad Chakotay fanfic that we could come up with.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't even. It was, well, because Joe was there, too.
Yeah.
So, some of the stuff is pretty delightfully offensive. But it's okay.
I think that's Joe's tagline.
Because the indigenous person was like, fuck yeah, and then we can have this tomahawk, and it's like, okay,
fuck.
Whatever, we're good, okay. Like, it was delightful. So delightful. And yeah, so that was Sunday, and then Monday mm-hmm. packed up and left. Like,
as
it was,
one does.
It was just a full fucking weekend of running into people and conversations and more people, and then there were more people on top of that, and then there were some more people, and people.
Conventions wear me out real fast,
yeah,
emotionally and physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Because even as extroverted as I am, and probably as a result of being super extroverted, I burn out real fast because I know that person and that person and that person and that person and that person. So even while I'm talking, I'm trying to focus on the conversation that I'm having with the person who's immediately in front of me. But still, I'm like, oh, I know that. Oh, that's an amazing cosplay. Oh, and then also these people that I know. Hi, nice to see you. And that music, that sounds really good. We should, like, it's just fucking my inability to turn off.
Right.
Intake, like, input.
That's what I tend to thrive off of, though. Which is why I take extra
yeah.
time off of work, because I know
sure.
I'm going to crash hard afterwards, because
yeah.
that's a lot of energy. But those are the things that I'm just like, yeah, I'm here. There's these people and
yeah.
those people, and yeah, let's do this. We're cool. Like, you know, it's awesome hanging out time. So that's why that stuff energizes me. Except for when I go into social anxiety. I'm an extrovert with social anxiety, which is delightful.
Yeah.
So sometimes I get anxious, but I don't really tired wear down until there's no more people. And then I'm like, now I'm going to pass out for the next 18 hours. Like.
Yeah.
So what about you? What did you do for con?
I did a panel about the Magnus Archives, which I kind of fell in love with a little while ago. There are definitely things that I love about it. There are things about it that aren't my favorite things, but they, like, overwhelmingly, it is incredibly listenable and pretty fucking deep.
Mm.
And I did not go to this panel to be an expert. I went there having listened to, I want to say, 2/3 of the episodes to be, you know, just on this panel and talk about this thing that I like. This work that I admire. Everyone else on that panel was an expert. And I suppose there's always that person on the panel, and I was definitely that person.
Mm.
Because I knew much of what they were talking about, but then occasionally there would be like a, what about this thing? And some things were spoiled pleasantly, and I'm on a panel, a fan panel about this show,
right.
So I'm throwing myself to the wolves there.
Right.
But then, like, some questions would come up, and I'd be like, I'm just going to quietly sit this one out.
Right.
I'm going to let the people who know answer.
There were times where you weren't talking? I'm very confused about this, James.
Many. Many times.
All right.
Yeah.
I should have gone to this panel.
Because I know. Yeah, if nothing else, the spectacle would have been worth it. So that was Thursday night. And I'm grateful to friend of the podcast, Cedia Scotchbringer, for including me.
Yay.
Then Friday night, I'll talk about my minuscule participation in Ville, where in order to
minuscule
be a good show, because things do sometimes happen with traffic or injury or illness, that kind of thing, we will occasionally have somebody as a backup. And by occasionally, I mean always.
Right.
Have somebody as a backup. I was that person, and because I was there and prepped and ready to go, the director of the show said, you know what? We're going to throw you in for some of the games. So
right.
I got to participate in front of a gigantic audience.
Oh, my God.
In Ville Line Games, which is... It was stupendous fun. Then Saturday... Oh, Saturday. Saturday, I was in the Masquerade halftime show. But before that, I did someone's wedding.
Yay!
Yeah. And it was, like, it was such a weird, novel, interesting wedding. I just, because it's somebody that I've known for kind of a long time, somebody I've known for over a decade,
right.
And I've, he was in a real rough place when we were first friends, and then over the last decade, he's been, like, putting his life together, and...
Nice.
Like, seeing him find a romantic partner, who meshes so well with him, and getting to, like, legally join them is fucking awesome. So I was very pleased to do that, and then ran, like, actually flat out ran down to be part of the Masquerade halftime show, which was incredibly fun.
Excellent.
And we had people come up afterwards and start talking to people who had participated and say, like, how can I get involved with Fearless? How, what's all this business about?
Right.
Do you do any other shows? Oh, yes.
Oh, buddy, yes.
Oh, goodness.
Do you have 2 days?
Yeah.
For me to tell you about the good word of Fearless.
Or 50 hours.
Yes.
So that, and then got to hang out and drink and visit party rooms with a friend of the podcast, Mariah, with Bryn, and with Boothies, whom I love. And
I need to interrupt for a second.
Yeah, dude.
I forgot to say, when I was getting ready for my Lapis Lazuli cosplay,
uh-huh.
I basically had a nervous breakdown trying to get my makeup on.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't. And I was already, like, bodysuited because I was trying to be respectful of other roommates' time for the bathroom and this, that, and the other thing. And then, like, I just, like, I sent a text to Mariah with my room number. Please help make up. Like, it was basically that. I'm like,
please, my wets.
Please, sir. Dust my wets. So anyway, so yeah, like 5 minutes later, this makeup goddess shows up at my, like, I didn't even get a response. She was just there.
Yep.
And then makeup happened, and it was incredible. So yeah, little shout out to Mariah for that help, because oh, absolutely, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So Saturday night was trying to catch many of the party rooms that I had not gotten to see, because the weird thing is, like, the last few cons, I just been like, yeah, party rooms exist, but it's fine.
If they're not the Fearless party room, then why?
Right.
Right.
Functionally. but then I really, like, the party rooms have really stepped up, and I had a phenomenal time going through them. I found myself, for the first time in a long time, wishing that I could have seen more and done more.
Nice.
Then Sunday I went to Reverend Matt's, and also saw Closing Ceremonies, which had Eric Thompson in... of course, the French. Eric Thompson in the most ridiculous costume I've ever seen, and doing something fucking hilarious in it. So, cheers to him.
It was
good fucking work.
Yeah, that it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I also wanted to say, you mentioned juggling salsa, and something has happened.
What's that?
I was at work, and I saw a shelf in the storage room of tiny Nerf footballs.
Okay.
I may have picked up three of them.
Okay.
And I may have juggled them.
Okay.
Something bad is happening to me, and I don't know how to stop.
What?
Juggling things?
Yeah, but what bad is happening to you?
That.
I don't understand.
All right.
Okay. Cool. So I want to talk about the Ville show real quick.
Yeah.
On Friday we did the Villification Tennis show for Con, which is incredible. It's an incredible experience to be a part of. Because you are in a large room that is packed to the gills, full of people that want to see you succeed.
Holy fucking shit.
So, I did the Villification Tennis show this year. The Vill posters had the lineups. Four rounds of Vill. The third round, and it's just like we do all of our other stuff, with the little cartoon heads, these two people versus
with
these two people.
With thanks to Lauren Addy.
Yep. So, the posters this year had, you know, the first lineup, these two people versus these two. Second round, these two people versus these two. Third round, Chris versus Jenna.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing something
different. Oh, yeah. So, third round, it gets announced that, you know, we are doing Chris versus Jenna. And Tim talks about how we just didn't have enough vilifiers to fill out a fourth round. So it's just going to be you two. And there's more playing. It's like, well, there's got to be somebody around here who's done vil before. Like, blah, 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 blah. Well, what about guest of honor, Cargill?
Bum, bum, bum.
So then Cargill gets up on stage and is like, all right, so we've got Cargill and Chris versus Jenna. Let's go. And I'm like, wait, I need a partner. And he's like, there's nobody else. And then guest of honor, Lee Harris, comes out onto the stage.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, well, I've done something. He's from Britain. He is British. And he's like, well, I haven't done this American vilification tennis, but I have done a British version called You're So Uncouth, which was delightful. And he did a couple of...
That is the most British Right. Vilification tennis.
Just wait.
You're so uncouth. So then he, you know, Tim's like, well, what's that like? And so he throws a tea-based insult. And Tim's like, okay, what else you got? And then he throws another tea-based insult. It's like, you're so uncouth. When you make tea, you heat the water by microwaving it. Like, just, so, I know.
Oh, that's
right.
Below the belt.
Right. And so Tim's like, are they all tea-based? And Lee's like, well, yeah. He's like, nah, American, but you're in. Let's go. Hmm. So I got to vilify against a guest of honor with a guest of honor as a partner in front of over 1,000 people.
Whoa, yeah.
That room held over 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. Like
they also have the closed circuit TV.
They did not.
Okay.
Well, they had not the closed circuit TV, but they did have a simulcast to internet.
I
didn't think they did that.
I thought they might.
They did
have
that for most of it, but I don't think they did that for the Viltan.
Okay.
Because that's liability. But ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
no.
So.
Yeah. No, my understanding was that did not happen.
Okay.
So yeah, to over 1,000 individuals in one room.
That's not shabby.
I got to do vilification tennis and it was amazing. I had, worked with Lee ahead of time on Vil stuff. Mm-hmm. There's nothing quite like editing an editor's insults to be like, did I make it? So yeah, so I did all of that. I had an absolutely wonderful vilification tennis show, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to top that, so now I'm retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Join in the crew.
I know. I did today retire from vilification tennis.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a wonderful years. Very long ass time. but I'm getting pulled in 15 different directions.
Sure.
With the hits to the head, my brain, mm-hmm. my memorization is not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was probably, and really, what better am I going to do?
Right.
Yeah. I got to vilify with guests of honor in front of 1,000 people. Like, I fucking die now.
I think the only thing better than that would be if you somehow spawn a champion vilifier.
Oh, you mean the one that kicked your ass a couple of years back?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and then
no, it did
every
that.
Time they've ever met since.
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, no, so. if you weren't already going to be a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame, you're definitely in it now.
Oh yeah.
So
the halls of Vilhalla.
The halls of Vilhalla.
Where the terrible may vilify forever.
Yes. Where
oh, God.
We drink jacked cider.
Yes.
From as delicious as this beverage
so
is, I am always gonna laugh.
Yep.
All right.
So yeah. That was basically the highlight of my con, the highlight of pretty much any con I will ever have since.
Fair.
Nice.
Aside from the egg dropping with that little girl, she was super cute. But yeah, so and I am retired, and I have loved doing Vil, and may vilification tennis continue to be awesome. I will keep showing up for my daughter's shows because that's the kind
good
of mama
stuff.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that show was a fucking blast. Good. Also, I got to see some of the costumes for Masquerade. Well, we were doing the halftime show, and I'm sorry if people missed it, because those are fucking great.
They always are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the costumes that people wander in that place with are stunning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Are you done?
I'm done.
James, are you done?
I could take a break.
Okay. I just wanted to...
Sure.
Because while I was, again, only there briefly, but we are... It is now in this new location.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what everybody thought of the new location.
Overall, thumbs up. I think that it worked a lot better, especially the sleeping area versus the activity areas. Because in the previous hotel, you had gaming on the 22nd floor. So you had people that would go up and down and up and down just for those activities,
right.
as opposed to going up for sleeping. Like, it it
more traffic. Yeah,
yeah. It kind of segregated because the area where stuff was happening had its own set of elevators and escalators and other ways of getting to and fro and up and down. So I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Anytime I had to go to my room, the lines were way shorter.
That was the one thing I noticed is having the escalators that went up 4 flights.
Yeah.
And then having the elevators in different locations seemed to really ease that congestion.
It really did.
So
the only thing I really missed was having a garden court area.
Yeah.
Somewhere to look out across the masses and just take in the nerddom.
That is kind of the feeling I had while I was there.
Yeah.
Is at the old place, you had the garden court on one side, and then you had the short tower on the other side, and both were these large atriums with, you know, open areas, and it was very big, and this place didn't have those, and the short time I was there, I felt very claustrophobic.
It was a little more claustrophobic.
And I could not get the fuck out of there fast enough, because I was...
Yeah.
There were people crushing me in every direction.
Right.
And I felt so uncomfortable with the wave of humanity. And so that was the impression that I got was just you didn't have that feeling of openness.
Yep.
It felt so much more enclosed. So.
But I think that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Like everything else was that I experienced was stellar. Mm-hmm. Consuite didn't have any food the one time I went there at 3 a.m. on Sunday, so boo to that. And by that I mean, of course they didn't have food at 3 a.m. on Sunday. What the fuck were you thinking, Jenna?
Yeah.
But I heard they did well throughout.
No, because Saturday night, Sunday morning at 3 a.m. was always when the White Castle showed up.
They didn't do specialties this year. They took that money and they reinvested it into more consistent.
See, I left at the right time.
They also had House of Toast was back, but in Consuite proper.
Okay.
The snack food glory hole was also back.
Yeah.
The other complaint that I heard was that all of the party rooms were on 4 floors, but the only way to get from floor to floor was to go all the way to the front of the hotel to get to the elevator / escalator and then walk all the way to the back of the hotel to get to the party area.
Correct.
You totally could have taken the stairs.
I don't think
most people knew where those stairs were.
I heard that the stairwell was locked.
We were turned away from the stairs on certain floors.
I heard the stairwell was a down stairwell for fire escape purposes, and it was locked on the stairwell side. You could enter the stairwell, but you could only go to the you could only exit the stairwell on the first floor. That's what I was told.
Okay.
And the reason I was told that was that's how those usually work.
Unless you have a room key.
And B, they didn't have enough people for badging in that stairwell, so that's why that was not allowed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So if you were sneaking around, good on you. But that's what I heard. I've already admitted to my misdemeanors on this podcast. So I really can't, fault you for that.
It's my favorite fairy godmother.
So that is
yeah,
my first impression. One last thing I will say, those escalators, they were being put through the ringer, and they did stop a couple times just because they were overworked. And every time they stopped, they stopped while I was on them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so this is a you problem.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But one of them, they stopped while I was on it, and I said, "Sorry for the convenience." And nobody around me laughed.
Oh.
And I lost all faith in humanity.
Did you see that people had altered the signs?
Eric Thompson sent me a message later showing me, and he was like, "Our people are around."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, good. Because at that moment in time, they weren't. And I felt really bad.
Well, so. I mean, we're also getting old, Salsa. Yeah.
Anything else about Con, then, to wrap it up?
Not really.
Do you want to throw in any quick somethings?
I was gonna tell you need to talk about the show I just saw at some point, because I know 3 people in it. I didn't know I knew 3 people in it, besides my friend Moretta, our dear friend Moretta, our friend Ernest Briggs, and David Rand McKay. Is in it.
So
I didn't know.
Is this the turtle one?
Yes, this is the turtle
one.
All right, so we're transitioning away from Convergence to Fringe.
So
take it away.
It's not a fringe.
It's not a Fringe show.
I thought this was a Fringe show.
Nope, it's just this weekend.
Fringe is in a couple weeks. Don't do that to me.
I thought this was a Fringe preview thing.
No, Fringe previews are next Monday.
I don't know.
So this is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday run. Mm-hmm. Is it? It's called What Would Crazy Horse Do? It's a 4-person cast. It's a really good script, and the acting is pretty darn good in it, I will say. I'm biased, and then I know too many people, but I just got back from their final dress preview night, and it is basically, as Moretta put it, she plays a high muckety-muck of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, God.
And if she does her job right, which I think she does, then you hate her, but you understand her, so you hate yourself a little bit more, too.
Oh, good.
Mm.
I love hating myself.
Yeah. So, because you feel like, oh, I can't hate her as much as I want to.
Yeah, sure.
So, and it's in kind of encapsulating Native genocide, mm-hmm. and, you know, what does it mean to be a conquered people?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting... It's not actually a premise I've necessarily... I'm sure it's been made before, but it's not one I'm familiar with. So I think it's really well done. So I just wanted...
Nice.
I wasn't necessarily coming down to, like, say this into the microphone just right now, but I was going to tell y'all you should pimp it, because y'all got nothing else going on this weekend. Good an
opportunity is... I will put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yes.
Excellent.
Thank you for letting me do that. Also, oh, yeah. Con was super fun, and I had fun dressing up with Jenna, and...
and we were adorable.
We were freaking adorable. And now I have more pictures to show my students next year, and they never believe me that I'm cool. And then I show them pictures of Khan, and they know I'm not cool. But I only saw one student this year, which is... No, I did see two students this year. So that's a record low for me. So that's awesome.
All right.
So, and I wasn't wearing anything scantily clad at the moment, which is also a new record for
bonus.
Me.
Bonus.
So well, I normally have that lovely, awkward conversation. So where we pretend we don't see each other, and they're like, hi, Miss Sterling. And I was like, hello, student of mine. I totally do have an alcoholic beverage in my hand, and I'm totally showing my cleavage. Welcome to seeing your teachers out in the wild. So, but that did not happen this year. So,
yay!
Apparently it was big enough I could avoid them. So there was enough floor space. I didn't have to see all of them all the time.
Well done. Mm.
So I will stop crashing your party. love you.
Yay.
Bye bye. Love you. Bye. You are always welcome. Anything else?
Break.
All right. Break time it is.
Sweet. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And we are... After all of that conversation, we need a little bit of a mental palate cleanser. So let's do a really quick, James. Try to keep it under 5 minutes or so. But how about what you've been watching, what you've been reading?
As a collective, not just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do mine really quick. I've been watching on Amazon Prime. I've been watching a show called Diplomatic Immunity.
Hmm.
It is a New Zealand sitcom.
Ooh.
And it... is about a fictitious Pacific Island nation, and they have...
New Zealand is a real place.
It is about a fictitious island nation with a, quote, embassy in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and the embassy is a house in a residential neighborhood.
Oh,
okay.
But there is a New Zealand... diplomat who used to be a diplomat for England and then got caught being naughty, and so he has now been sent as the ambassador to this country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've got this house of Pacific Islanders who are all just like, everything's cool, you know, we're just hanging out and having a good time and selling whale meat to people. And
Jesus.
And this okay. New Zealand, like, buttoned-up diplomat who's the ambassador to this country, kind of like, you guys can't do that. And it's nice. quite hmm. amusing. So I recommend it.
Nice. Awesome.
I've been watching, I'm up to season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Oh, fucking shit.
Yep.
Out of
8?
8.
Okay.
I just finished.
Final season, okay.
Yep, I just finished the first episode of season 8. So, yeah, that was exciting. Also, that was a lot.
Whoa,
holy shit, do they
yeah.
kick up their fucking pace in this shit. So, yeah, I saw that. I'm not going to do anything that could be conceived of as spoilers at this point because season 8.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then I have been, Joe just introduced me to a game called Monument Valley.
Yes. I have heard about this.
My God.
Idle Thumbs has talked about this game a lot.
It's everything I've ever wanted in a game. It's a puzzle game.
Is it free now?
Nope. I bought it. Because it's like $3.
It's the only reason I haven't played it so far.
Yeah, it's Joe had played the demo and then was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm buying it." And then he showed me his purchased version. And I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm buying it." Like it's so good. It's a puzzle game that works off of perspective, and you get some Escher type. Compatibilities in your game plan. You have to like rotate this thing, and if you shift this thing, then you can Escher your way over to an area that otherwise wouldn't be accessible. And there's some timing elements too, but you never die. You just don't move forward,
right.
Which is kind of my preferred game style. So
yeah,
and it's so cute.
It is really good.
It's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, like I said, Idle Thumbs raved about that game, that is highly recommended.
Super good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have been... I just watched the Shazam movie, which was way better than I expected it to be. The trailers like pushed it as some kind of... like extremely sarcastic shit, but it is really pretty warm and fuzzy. I don't know who built their trailer, but I think they kind of fucked up.
This is the one with Sinbad as the genie, right?
Right. That is actually pretty funny. So there's that. And then I get this joke. That's fucking deep as fuck, too.
Yeah, no, it's a deep pull, I know.
Yeah, so then what I've been playing is... I've been playing Cadence of Hyrule, which is a redo of Crypt of the Necrodancer. It's a rhythm-based RPG. Cadence of Hyrule.
Of Hyrule, okay.
Which is... A remake of... not exactly a remake. It's based off of Crypt of the Necrodancer. And it's really good. It's a fucking solid game.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That was pretty good. And we managed to keep it under 5 minutes, so good on us. I'm really impressed, guys.
Woo!
I'm so impressed that we should go straight into the Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Fast Five!
For those that don't know how this works, you know how it works. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan!
Senpai!
Yep. Stefan writes, "Hello, friends."
Hello.
"I find that I'm no longer thinking up symbol questions."
Oh, shit.
"So forgive me if the context for 3 of these 5 questions are not really that fast."
Fuck.
Okay.
Question number 1. Impala or Impreza?
Okay.
I could not tell you what an Impreza was, aside from a car.
Isn't that a Subaru?
It's a car. I don't know. I think Impalas are cooler animals.
Well, Chevy Impalas are used as like low power interceptors for the police. I guess they're souped up.
So it's a car.
Yes, honey, it's cool. A car.
I like Impala because you can name your car Vlad.
Vlad the Impala.
And then it's Vlad the Impala.
I would rather impale people than imprez them.
Hmm. You'd rather, well,
nope.
Impaling yourself is the way that you impress them. Others.
So I'm going with Impala.
All right.
Yeah, question number two. Electrical or mechanical? Electrical's real convenient, but something about mechanical things are just so much fun.
I agree with that.
Most of my toys were mechanical in nature. Even if they had like batteries, they were still like gears and pulleys and shit. When I started taking a bunch of my toys apart to learn about how all of that stuff fit together.
And what kid didn't do that, really?
I don't know. But like, I used a screwdriver and would then put them back together in working order.
What kid didn't do that, really?
I think a lot. But that.
Okay. Jenna?
Mechanical.
Okay. We're all going mechanical on that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool question number three, yourself or someone else?
Myself.
I would rather experience the thing than live vicariously.
But if I had a choice between giving something good to a friend or keeping it for myself.
No, I'm still keeping it for myself.
I know. I know, honey.
Now we know.
But you did share the results of your jacking.
It's true.
And you improved our lives dramatically with your viscous fluids.
Which was a gift to me.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Right. It made me feel good.
Well, there's that. I mean, it does make me feel good to be able to share cool things with friends. So it's not purely altruistic.
If somebody was going to do somebody harm, I would rather it was done to me.
Agreed. That was my first thought.
Bring it, James.
If somebody was going to do harm to someone, I would rather they do it to me with the caveat that they need to charge admission first.
That's fair.
That's how it's been working so far.
Question number four. Googly eyes or clown nose?
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes on fucking everything.
I got a clown nose on this one.
Like, maybe what's the... Oh, fuck. Maybe what's the easiest way to make a poster funnier or something? I'm going to say googly eyes on it.
Have you ever put a clown nose on a poster?
I haven't.
Has anyone?
No.
I don't know. Googly eyes, I think, are easier.
Okay.
Plus, you can add them to things that don't already have eyes in order to make them faces, and it's real fucking good. Yeah.
Cool.
Googly eyes.
Yeah.
Question number five.
Mm-hmm.
Your birthday or Christmas? I think of the two, which is more overrated, and it's a toss-up, I'm going Christmas.
I would also say Christmas is overrated.
I love Christmas so much.
I used to love Christmas.
And then I turned 10.
My birthday is really close to Christmas.
As is mine.
So most of my presents were, like, combined birthday and Christmas.
Yeah, I had those too.
Which I'm kind of fine with. Christmas present is fine.
So you're going Christmas?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. We wrap this up by saying cheers, Stefan.
Yay!
Now we open up the second and we find out, hello again! Impala or Impreza?
Okay.
Which word sounds weirder? if you over enunciate the imp at the beginning. Impala. Impreza. Impreza.
Impreza.
Impreza.
It's the Z.
Yeah.
It's and it's not like a word.
Ala is too smooth. Impreza is funnier.
Hmm.
Which sounds weirder. Yeah, Eza is a weirder sound.
Hmm.
As with or without the imp.
I wonder if there's a dish called Imp a la King.
I mean, if you were serving imp.
I like shredded buffalo wings. Chicken a la King, but...
No, I know what you meant. Buffalo. I'm just saying, if there were imps around...
Yeah.
You could serve them, and it would be Imp a la King.
Yeah.
Denim?
Impreza.
Okay.
Impreza.
Universal on that one. Question number two, electrical or mechanical? You are hired for a new support job, fixing small devices about the size of a basketball. At your workbench, there is a feeder door where you get your next device to repair. The door has two buttons, electrical and mechanical, allowing you to choose the kind of problems you wish to solve for the next 2 hours. Which button do you press more often in a day?
Probably mechanical.
I think I would have to go mechanical on this one.
Yeah, I think I would have to go mechanical as well.
In my current job, I fix laptops, and the software problems are kind of boring a little bit, but like somebody got one of those tiny thumbnail USB mouse connector things well fucking jammed in there, because I guess the laptop fell off a table onto that adapter,
yeah, and
it just
jammed it right
solid
in there.
Yeah, so we were all gathered around. I think we're try it. Maybe if you take the spudger and if you okay, not there. But
when it comes to electrical, I think development is more fun than support. Support is just drudge.
Hmm.
But fixing a mechanical thing is more fun.
I always had more fun building computers.
Yeah, creating as opposed to fixing.
Uh-huh.
Fixing a computer is just getting it back to a working state, and it's just pokey pokey.
I mean, I kind of like that too, though. I like both of those. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie. I mean, it's logic regardless.
Clearly, I do that for a living, but but it's not, and maybe that's why I'm jaded against it. But yeah,
maybe same. Maybe that's why I find the mechanical problems more interesting.
Yeah. Question number three: yourself or someone else. The government has taken a weird, draconian turn.
Curse you, government.
I thought this was supposed to be hypothetical.
Right.
And is now instituting fines for using language harsher than PG-13 in public places. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
The fines are not assessed immediately, but after your speech has been reviewed the next day. This takes about half an hour on average. Everyone is given the option to either review themselves for a reduced fine, or have someone else review them, but the fines, if levied, are steeper. You can renew this choice at the first of the month. Which do you choose more often in a year?
No, do that again. What?
All right. Basically, you get reviewed.
Yeah.
You can review yourself for a reduced fine, or have someone else review you, but the fine is steeper.
Why wouldn't I choose myself?
Right?
I feel like that seems the obvious answer. I guess there's must be something we're missing here, but I can't see it.
I guess then you get to find out everything that person has said, if it's someone else, but that's uncomfortable.
No, I don't like that at all.
Plus, that also means that somebody else has overheard everything that you've said out of context. And that could lead to hilarious misunderstandings.
Maybe it's, do you want to hear everything you say again, or hear something else which might be more interesting?
Friends, I listen to this podcast.
I don't.
I do occasionally, depending on what's going on. But,
I gotta go with myself. I'm more than happy to find myself for my slip-ups than do that to someone else.
Mm. Yeah.
Question number 4, googly eyes or clown noses. Which would you rather have an infinite supply of to place on things?
Googly eyes. Googly eyes. Googly eyes.
I would still do clown noses because googly eyes is... everybody does googly eyes, as has already been mentioned, but nobody does clown noses, and that would be amazing.
So wait, you're choosing clown noses?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a less saturated market.
Okay.
And I would go around, if I had an infinite supply, I would go to every statue and put a fucking clown nose on it.
That's pretty good.
Because no one else is doing that.
Plus, it would be amazing for somebody at the base of Mount Rushmore to use the, like, 50 cents for 30 seconds little binoculars that are on there and, like, scan across and see the, like, the tiniest little clown noses on each of them. Yeah. That'd be fucking great.
I'm telling you.
But imagine if they did the same thing and they saw that there were little googly eyes. I feel like, well, and the other thing is, you can put googly eyes on something.
You could still, you know, desecrate a national monument like that.
You can,
figure out a way to climb up there.
Right. I mean, but if I had an infinite supply of clown noses, or googly eyes, guess what I'm doing. Yeah. All right, so that. You can put googly eyes on things that you don't like without making clowns look bad.
Still going clown noses.
It's tough, but fair.
Question number 5, your birthday or Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmother wants to buy you the latest video game console on your wish list.
Aww.
You are not allowed to demur and recommend a game or two for her to get instead while you go buy the system yourself. No, she is adamant. She wants to spend the roughly $500 on you herself.
$500?
On which gift-receiving day are you more comfortable getting this present from Grandma? I suppose Christmas?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Christmas.
I feel like you get the bigger presents on Christmas.
Yeah.
It's more socially acceptable to get bigger presents on Christmas.
When I have received video game systems, I have gotten them on Christmas. With, I think, one exception.
I feel like the only big presents you get on your birthday are your, like, bicycle. On your, you know, what, 5th birthday or 6th birthday or
fuck,
whatever.
Man, that would have
been
useless for me.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like, that's the only, like, socially acceptable big present that I can think of. Unless you get a car when you're 16 because your parents are rich.
Right.
But those are really the only big birthday presents. Whereas Christmas is the time to get the big shit.
That's always been kind of my thing, too.
The Red Rider BB gun.
For me, my birthday is actually more about spending time with people than it is gift giving.
Hmm.
You go out to dinner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, Stefan signs out with, hope you enjoyed these. I'll try to keep Future Fast Fives from being unintentionally creative writing prompts. That's okay. Have you read some of Mav's?
Everything is a prop.
We love you, Mav. Stefan signs out this by saying, hugs and hand farts, Stefan.
I am delighted. Delighted.
Do you have to use a fart cupboard if you hand fart? If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first should contain nothing but the 5 choices. The second should repeat those choices and then give us context. You know how this all works. So, who has a shout-out?
I already kind of did a shout-out to Mariah, but yes, she was basically my savior this weekend, as I'm trying to get makeup on, and it's all, like, streaky and awkward, and I'm like, I'm never gonna be lapis. I'm going to ruin children's childhoods. Like, yeah, she showed up in 5 minutes and was like, here we go. We're gonna do this now. Here's how we do this. Let's get this done. Let's...
Mary Poppins magic bag.
Yeah, basically. And she's like, okay, do you have this? No. That's okay. We'll just do this instead. Like, boom. Done. Also, she, like, praised my choice in makeup. So she's like, oh, that's a really good brand. Good job. Like, I'm like, okay then. Yes.
Now there you
and
go.
And she just kind of built me up and put my face on and was like, all right, ready to go. So.
Do you have one or do you want me to go?
I do. Okay. Lauren Addy was at the, in the dealer's room.
I have to do another one.
The sales hall. Okay. And along with a lot of other super, super amazing sales peoples.
Uh-huh.
I found a lot of little souvenirs and things to get for people that I care about. But I bought a few things for myself, not the least of which were Unit 418, Issue 1 and 2.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
And she was nice enough to sign them.
Oh, lovely.
I did not see her. I must have missed her every time I went look for her.
I think it depends on which door you've taken to get in.
I went twice.
Hmm.
So, awkward.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Mine is going to make me sound like a terrible person, but I've made peace with that. But I'm giving my shout out to alcohol. Here's why. Because it is amazingly versatile and varied, and you can go for years and just explore different things that people have done and always keep learning about new techniques and new styles and new it's just there is so much variety in getting drunk and I just love that. Like, that is the creative process behind, it's very culinary, you know, it goes hand in hand with food, this idea that you can take food and just go in so many different directions with it, but taking, instead of the food that you eat, the drink that you have, can also be just as varied and just as creative and interesting. I made a melon infused vodka for my wife for Convergence. That's what she had for Convergence. She had this melon vodka that I infused for her, and she said it was fantastic. So I love being able to create things like that. It's so much fun for me. So plugs.
You
had one. Yep,
there is one other shout out. I have to give this. And then I will be done with sappy shit. But I need to give a shout out to Vilification Tennis. Like I said, I've done it basically for 18 years. I think roughly there-ish, give or take. And possibly 7, I don't know. Anyway, a very long time, between 15 and 20 years. And Vilification Tennis really taught me what comedy was, how to develop comedy, how to write a joke. It taught me how to stage presence in very specific ways. It gave me my first tastings of improv, more or less. And it gave me a community of people. It's weird to think about, but the people of Vilification Tennis can be some of the most supportive people that you have in your life. And I am going to miss hanging out with those people on the regular. So, shout out to Vilification Tennis. Everybody who has been on cast throughout the years, which is many, except for Salsa.
I've made peace with that.
It has been an honor to vilify with you.
And you, sir.
I completely agree. My experience was the exact same. You will not find a more supportive group of reprobates
anywhere. My god. Yeah.
So.
All right.
And that audience. That fucking con audience.
Fucking wow.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for giving me a hell of a fucking send-off show.
Yes, thank you, friends.
Jesus, that was great. Cool. All right,
then let's do plugs.
I have a couple of shows coming up for the Minnesota Fringe Festival.
Do we want to do it now?
That's my next thing. I will just state, for the record, The website is live. So go to fringefestival.org. Look for Wilhelmina and Theodore's exquisite Victorian adventure. The Bisexual Unicorn and Other Mythological Creatures. tickets are on sale now. There is, I think it's a Thursday, where both of my shows are playing back to back. So if you want to make a a night of Jenna Young, that's the way to do that. Go get your tickets now.
You too could have a date like that.
They are not doing wristbands this year. Artists weren't getting payout. They just weren't getting money off the stuff. So they did go back to regular ticketing. But they do have, I think there are like 5 and 10 punch cards that you can buy. Things like that available at the Fringe website. So go get those things and save yourself a few bucks on one of those punch cards. Get yourself some tickets on the website, have you. But get prepared, because fuck to the this Fringe.
Fringe is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, James?
I'm in Renaissance of the Dead. Also at Fringe. Okay. We are apparently going to be part of Fringe Preview.
So, you do need to talk about that. Shit. Are you doing the 15th or the 22nd?
22nd.
Okay. I'll talk about mine then. Both of my shows got into Fringe Previews.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah. Bisexual Unicorn is doing the Fringe Preview this coming Monday on the 15th at Rarig Center. So go to that. And then on the 22nd, there's another night of previews where you can see James's show and a preview for Wilhelmina and Theodore.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'll see you there, bitch. So yeah, and previews are great. I believe they're free.
That is my understanding.
Yep. Cool. So you can get a smattering. I think it's like they do 30 shows a night or some stupid number like that. But you can get a real good idea of what's out there for Fringe, and I highly recommend it.
Cool. I have nothing to plug, so that seems to be it.
Sure.
All right. We're going to wrap this up then again. Thank you so much to everyone who listens to this show. Thank you to Stefan for sending in that Fast Five.
Yes.
Thank you to... I ran out.
Right.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
We love you. Bye, bye, bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.